Okay, so it's been a couple of weeks since we got to learn together over here from the Gra. So I want to learn a little bit from the biography of Rabbi Bezalel Landau on the Vilna Gaon. When we learn the biography of the Gra, the goal is not to get depressed. The goal is just to realize that there was such a human being, such a Yid who once walked the planet Earth, not that long ago. 1797, he passed away. He's in the third parak of a sefer called Hagon HaChassid MiVilna. Okay, listen to some of these quotes. Vasmadaso v'kishronosav hamuflan, he gil yedi atzum v'chol chedre Torah. With his unbelievable hasmada and his naturally brilliant mind, he reached levels of Torah understanding with remarkable depth, benigla uvenistar, in the revealed and in the hidden, which is true and unique about the Gra. I mean, he wrote crazy amounts on Zohar, Tikkuni Zohar, wrote very, very deep Zohar on the Sifra Tznius, which is a section of the Zohar which is particularly deep and difficult. And then he wrote on Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote on everything. I mean, he himself didn't write actually that much, because the Vilna Gaon felt that if you could remember it, then there's no heter to write it down. So everyone else wrote it down for him. Yochai Velazhner said, this is the third parak. This is the third parak here in the Sefer Hagon HaChassid MiVilna. Ba'ola Shel Torah, it's called the Tent of Torah. So Rav Chaim Velazhner, his beloved disciple, said, Hei Ralav Shaya Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula. He said, B'li Guzma, without joking, my Rebbe was an expert in all areas of Torah. B'nigla, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashei Chazal, V'chein B'chachma Sanistar, HaZohar, V'Eitz Chaim, U'v'chol Ma She'yesh Lanu Midivrayem, and everything that we have from the words of our sages, right? Meaning, anything that would be called Chazal on any level. V'chol Teva Midivrayem Haisa Omedes L'Neged Einav, that every letter of Torah was mamish before his eyes, v'yeda mala mala himena, and he knew what came before it. Now, what does Rav Chaim Velazhner mean by that? He knew all the words of Torah, and he knew what came before it. So if you look in footnote number 5 over here in the Sefer, it's very interesting. It says, the following is said about Rav Chaim Velazhner's brother. Who is Rav Chaim Velazhner's brother? Rav Zalman of Velazhner was also a super-duper genius. And yet Rav Chaim Velazhner said about his brother that if my brother would live 2,000 years, he wouldn't even reach the ankles of the Vilna Gaon. Nice. These people, when they come to the Vilna Gaon's home, and Rav Chaim Velazhner and Rav Zalman of Velazhner come to the Vilna Gaon's home, they said they were literally, their bodies were shaking just to ask a question of the Vilna Gaon. So 2,000, he said, my brother, there's a Hebrew biography called Told Us Adam, biography of Rav Zalman of Velazhner. It's also, it's crazy. It's things that are not shaykh at all. And yet Rav Chaim Velazhner said about his brother, 2,000 years, he wouldn't even begin to reach the foot of the Vilna Gaon, the heels of the Vilna Gaon. So the Talmidim said, maybe what you mean, Rav Chaim, is in Charifus. Maybe in terms of sharp analysis, the Gaon was the best. So he says, no. He says, Gamba Bekias. The Vilna Gaon's breath, 2,000 years, you couldn't catch up to everything that he knew, and to know it the way that he knew it. So the Talmidim said, what do you mean by that? What exactly, how could a person know it so well? What does it mean to know it so well? Meaning let's assume there's a somewhat finite body of Chazal, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifra, Sifrei, the Midrashim, Zohar. So what do you mean 2,000 years he couldn't know it? So Rav Chaim Velazhner said like this. He said, take something that we're all very familiar with, Ashrei. Right? So if I say, Poseach es yadecha, you say, you can finish the pasuk. So says Rav Chaim Velazhner, however, the Vilna Gaon, what did he mean when he said in the body of the text, when Rav Chaim Velazhner said that every word, Haisa Omedes Leneged Einav, that every word and every letter was before his eyes? So let's try like this, yeah? Say the Pasuk of Poseach Es Yadecha backwards. Okay, so if you think a lot, you'll be able to figure it out. Okay? Now say the whole Torah backwards. Yeah? Say all of Mesechas Bava Kama backwards. Yeah, so you have to literally be reading it like as if it's super clear in front of your face. Right? Without thinking, say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad backwards. Go. You're thinking. Okay, good. So you don't have it as clear as the Gra. So Rav Chaim Velazhner said, that's what I meant. Right? When I said the Vilna Gaon has every letter of the Torah before his eyes, not only does he know the Torah forwards, but he knows the Torah forwards and backwards. You hear people talk like that sometimes. Oh, he knows his Masech, the forwards and backwards. Does he really know it backwards? Because the Vilna Gaon literally knew it backwards. He literally had it with such clarity, he can literally read the Pesukim backwards. B'niglu, v'nister, tanayim, amuram, bavli, yusham, yizar, yitzchayim, he knew that everything inside and out, forwards and backwards. Okay, what an unbelievable madriga. Again, just to remind ourselves whose Torah we're learning here. Okay, back in the biography, it says, Rav Rafal HaKohen Mihamburg said about the Vilna Gaon, was asked about the Vilna Gaon, Why are you so afraid of the Vilna Gaon more than anyone else? Who says he's the greatest of the generation? In what way is the Vilna Gaon the greatest of the generation? So Rafal of Hamburg said, because the Vilna Gaon doesn't only know Torah inside and out. He knows how to find every sugya, every rishon, every halacha, he knows how to find within Torah Shebichtav, which is something we've seen in some of the shirim, right? A missing letter, an extra letter. He was able to darshan up everything to show you how kol ha-Talmud is ganuz, is inserted and hidden within Tanakh, within the letters of Tanakh. Unbelievable. V'lo rak b'drashos har muslos v'mikra, and not only to know, right? It's already impressive. You can read Parshas Mishpatim and say every Baba Kama related Gemara, it's already very impressive. The Vilna Gaon understood it in reverse. The Vilna Gaon saw what Chazal saw in the Pasuk. He was able to say how many times each letter appears in the Pasuk. So for example, they asked the Gra one time something to do with the menorah, the Parshas HaMenorah. And the Vilna Gaon said, oh, it says Aleph this many times in that Parsha, and it says Yud this many times. He had everything counted. Everything was crystal clear. And everything was as clear as it was given at Har Sinai, and the day it was given at Har Sinai. Then he says something very interesting. Rabbi Tzal Landau writes in this biography, he says, if I were to stop you in the street and say, you want to hear an insight from the Gaon? Everyone who knows anything about Torah would know I'm talking about which Gaon? The Vilna Gaon, right? I wasn't about to share with you a Rav Hai Gaon, or a Rav Achai Gaon, or a Rav Notri Gaon, right? I wasn't talking about the Gaon, I was talking about the Gaon. Who's the Gaon? Stam the Gaon is the Gaon of Vilna. The Vilna Gaon. So he says, isn't that an amazing thing? What the word Gaon means? Gaon means a super expert, genius, a master of everything. Right? I think the Vilna Gaon himself said that Gaon, maybe someone said it before him, Gaon is Gematria 60. Because it implies master of all 60 Masechtos. Shanais as well. So if you hear the word, he says, if Yomar Adam Yisrael HaGaon, Lelot Sion Shem HaMakom, without giving a place, without giving a title, whom is kavin a love, v'kach hunzach l'doros. And that's been established for generations. No one will ever replace the Gaon. There'll never be anyone else who becomes the Gaon. Right? Same way, around Washington Heights, you say the Rav. No, you say which Rav? Which Rabbi? The Rav. Ha Rav. With the hey, idea. Yeah? The Rav means of salvation. So the Gaon means the only Gaon. And he says it'll stay like that forever, and he's probably right. Who's ever going to overcome the Gaon in that? The Vilna Gaon emphasized when it comes to learning Torah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, the Vilna Gaon said that means that every single letter is Keneged Kol HaTorah Kulam. Which is why the halacha is, if a mitzvah comes your way, and you're learning, if someone else can do the mitzvah, you should continue learning. Because there's truly nothing the Vilna Gaon said better than learning Torah. And therefore he was very, very particular about not wasting a second of Torah. He had a calculation of all of his moments throughout the year. Okay, another interesting paragraph. Ve'echar hayamim v'fnei sukkas. Hora l'shomo lecho. He said to those who listened to his advice, Chov al kol Talmud, she'abaki al kol panav b'meseches achas alpeh. Everyone should know at least one mesech de ba'al peh. You don't have to know all shas, not to be a gon. You should know one mesech de ba'al peh. So there was a particular Rav who was there who said, I'm going to learn sukkah ba'al peh. I picked this piece because it's nogei atar yeshiva, we're learning meseches sukkah. Yeah, so this Rav says, he chazered over meseches sukkah quite a few times. Okay? So he came to the Vilna Gaon for his bechina, which is already a bad. So the Gra said, "Kama machlokas yesh from Masechta Zu between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? How many times in the Masechta Sukkah do you have machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? I don't know. You don't know? How about Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael? How many times Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael disagree in the Masechta? How about Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Abai and Rava, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Rabbi Rabbi Yeshua? I don't know. She said, "How many sukkos in the Masechta are pasul? How many sukkos in the Masechta are kasher?" So the Gra said, "I'll tell you that one. That's easy to remember." If you spell sukkah, chaser, without the vav, samach chafei, it's gematria 85. There's 85 pasul sukkos in the Masechta. If you spell sukkah male, with a vav, it's 91. And there's 91 kosher sukkos in the Masechta. So he told him, you should probably go back and chaser over a little bit. Yeah, it's a good way to remember it. Okay? And he writes here, Rabbi Tzal Landau writes, he says, Zeh eino ele dugma lebikiyuso b'chol tam ebavli yushama. He could do this in Temura, he could do this in Zvachim, he could do it in Menachos, he could do it in all areas of Torah. It's unbelievable. Now, I want to just end, again, this is all just to remind us who our great Rebbe is. I want to just end by mentioning two more points. One is the Vilna Gaon wasn't just someone who learned Torah. He was a person who put a tremendous emphasis on learning Torah in purity. Taras HaMachshav. Yachin im ho'ra'osav l'shom eilecho l'shkod al Torah. In addition to encouraging people to study Torah diligently, hosif es ha'adgash al taras HaMachshav. He emphasized tremendously the importance of learning for the right reasons. And he would remind people of the Maamar Chazal also in Maseches Sukkah, Kol Agadol Michavero, Yitro Gadol Himenu. The bigger you are, the bigger your Yitzhar is. There's a great Vart from the Rebbe of Shmelk of Nicholsburg. He says, it teaches us the importance of friends. Yeah? That all of our success in this world is by attaching ourselves to good people. So he says, Kol Agadol Michavero. Kol Agadol, all of your greatness is Michavero. Yitro Gadol Himenu. Your Yitzhar is your problem. Your success is because you attach yourself to a good chavra. But the Gra used to remind people, it's really important to realize that as you grow in Torah, your Yitzhar grows. And there's a tremendous danger of what? Of Midas HaGaiva. Mitzuya Gam Bekerav Lom De Torah. The Gra used to say, Yesh Mares Atva Shu Tamil Chacham Gadol, Ve'ein Kem Ba'emes. Sometimes a person claims to be a big Tamil Chacham, and he's really not. So the Vilna Gaon emphasized a person has to learn with Yerush Shemayim, and it's a segula, he said, for remembering your Torah. Here was a person who remembers his Torah, must mean he have a lot of Yerush Shemayim. Because he said, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, if your Yira is greater than your Chachma, then your Chachma will last. So the Vilna Gaon said, if a person learns Torah, B'tara, in a pure way, then his Torah will remain, he'll remember his Torah. And last but not least, the Vilna Gaon, in addition to being, again, a genius, was a person who worked really hard in Torah. And if there's any one thing we can relate to about the Vilna Gaon, it's to challenge ourselves to try to push ourselves, not to just coast through life, but each person according to his level, to challenge himself to learn with a lot of energy. L'maroz kishonos v'atzum, in addition to his tremendous talent, natural talent, lo chado lisyagei al haTorah. He put in tremendous yigiyah into his learning. G'divrei Rav Chaim Volozhin, as Rav Chaim Volozhin said about him. Lo heres nafsho tov rak ba'am lo asher amal. The only thing the Vilna Gaon felt that he had in this world was he accomplished through his efforts. B'chachmu v'das. With tremendous, again, effort. And v'acher rov yigiyosav. Kasher chosu alav min hashamayim. And even after working, and then he finally understood the sugya, he'd say, oh, a gift from heaven. It's not me. I didn't earn it. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch. V'kach maser nafsho alim haTorah. Nasa nafsho mamish al kol davar v'diktuk. He cared about every little detail of Torah. He would fast for days before making a haggah, before making a note in the Gemara. Haggah is so great. He adds a letter, takes out a letter. We could care less. You know, we go, I get the gist of the sugya. There was no gist of the sugya by the Vilna Gaon. Every letter mattered. And he mamish was moser nefesh for every single letter of Torah. Nasa nafsho mamish al kol davar v'diktuk. Kami yigiyos yagav rabbeinu. With tremendous yigiyah, our Rebbe worked. Chaim Volozhin is describing. Lo yu'uman ki yusupar. It's impossible to describe watching such a scene. At jahotzi kol inyan bar la amito, till he was able to clarify every inyan according to its truth, and he wouldn't rest for anything in the world. It's an unbelievable thing. Okay, so just a little bit from the biography of the girl. Okay, let's learn five insights from the girl. One from the end of Kisisa is connected to Purim. A little Vayakel, a little Pekudei, and one Parsha's Par. Okay? Let's start with last week's Parsha. At the very end of Kisisa, there's a very strange, Rav Nathan, we've been waiting for you. You're out of time. We were just reminding ourselves about our Rebbe. Now we're actually starting. At the end of Kisisa, it's in Perek Lamed Dalid, in Pasuk Yud Zayin and Yuches. Pasuk says, Elohei Masecha lo sa'aseh lach. Pasuk Zayin, don't make for yourself molten gods. Yeah? Don't make idols. Next Pasuk, Eschag Amatzos Tishmor. Preserve the holiday of Pesach. Chaver, what's the connection? Back to back, Sukkim, don't have idols, preserve the holiday of Pesach. So you could say Pashup Shat. You could say Pesach is a zman of Amuna. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Esi Sich Meretz Yisrael. Believe in God, don't believe in idols. Okay. It's a nice Pshat. The Vilna Gaon says, I see Purim. I see the last taste of Purim in the end of Parshas Kisisa. Don't have molten gods for yourself. Guard the festival of Matzos. What's the connection? So the Gra said like this. The Gra said, when did the Jews fast for Esther? When Esther says, fast for 3 days. Prepare yourself for 3 days. When did they fast? What were the days?
Pesach.
It was Pesach, right? In Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it says it was the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Nisan. The 13th, 14th, the 15th of Nisan. Yeah? Which means that the last day of their fast was the first day of Pesach, which meant that the Seder night was going to be canceled. Right? Why did they cancel the Seder? Obviously, they felt it was an eighth star, and there was no choice but to fast and to daven. Okay? Why were they threatened by Haman? Why was Hashem threatening or allowing Haman to threaten Klai, so I'm going to destroy you? The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud Beis asked that question. The students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Rebbe, what was this whole thing about? Why did the Jews deserve to be destroyed?
Right? Maybe they went to the party. No, only Shushan went to the party. I don't know. What's the reason? So they said, you know what the reason is? Because the Jews worshipped idols. They bowed down to an idol. Hishtachavu letzelem. Rashi says, when did the Jews bow down to the idol? So some say, Haman had an idol around his neck. Could be. Rashi says, in the period prior to this, in the period of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar caused the Jews to bow down to idols. Right? So therefore they deserve to be destroyed. So the student says, Rishon Baruch Hai, so why weren't they destroyed? They were only doing it on the outside. They didn't actually worship before Zion. They felt they got pressured into it. They were scared for their lives. They didn't want to die al Kiddush Hashem. It wasn't so good, but okay. They only acted externally, so Hashem only scared them externally. Hashem pretended he was going to kill them. Yeah, but he didn't actually kill them. So it says in the Gaon, how did Purim come about? Because what? Because Jews worshipped idols. Ishtachavu letzelem. And because they worshipped idols, Haman made a gezeirah. Their lives were in danger. They had to fast. The what got canceled? Pesach. So says the God, that's the pasuk. Don't make for yourself avodah zarah. Next pasuk, guard the festival of matzos. Well, who is Hashem talking to? What does idolatry have to do with the festival of matzos? So the Vilna Gaon said it was because the Jews worshipped idols in the times of Nebuchadnezzar that Haman was able to scare them, and they were forced to make a 3-day fast, and the 3-day fast fell out on Pesach. So because of their inability to guard themselves from avodah zarah, they were not able to preserve the festival of matzos. And therefore the Torah warns us, be careful of the avodah zarah, because it could cost you the yontov of Pesach. It's a gevaldik part, no? Okay, so that's a connection to Purim and the end of last week's parsha. Okay? Let's go on to this week's parsha. The double parsha this week, Vayakel Pekudim. Okay, Vayakel Perek Lamed Ches, 38, verse 9. Towards the end of Vayakel. The Pasuk says, Vayas es hachatzer, Moshe Rabbeinu, they're preparing the Mishkan. He made the chatzer. He made the courtyard. Lifas negev temana kal e hachatzer. On the south side, there were curtains, right? And then there were curtains. There were curtains that surrounded the Mishkan. Okay. If you're a good Jew and you get to davening on time in the morning, we should be zocha. Right? So you say karbanos, and part of karbanos is the Mishnayis from Perak Ezehu Makoman, Zvachim Dafnun Gimel. Ezum Makoman Shel Zvachim, what is the place of slaughtering? And the Mishnah says over there, Ezum Makoman Shel Zvachim, right? And it tells you which types of karbanos are eaten where. And when it refers to those karbanos that are eaten within the walls, so to speak, what does it say? It says Lefnimin Haklayim, within the curtains. So I asked the Vilna Gaon, hold on a second, what do you mean within the curtains? The Beis HaMikdash didn't have curtains, the Mishkan had curtains. Why are the Mishnayis writing? Why are they using the Mishkan as the model of the boundaries of the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah. If the Mishnah is being written at a much later period in history, it probably should have described walls, as the Beis HaMikdash had walls, not curtains. The Mishkan had curtains. Right? Why would Chazal, in the times of the Mishnah, let's say 1600 years ago, why were they writing, based on the Mishkan, that Moshe was building in the Midbar? Lefnim and Aklayim. These karbanos can be eaten within the curtains. Curtains? Why are you talking about curtains? So the Vilna Gaon said the following. Why do we say this parak of Mishnayis in the morning? How did it make its way into davening? So the Beis Yosef, of Yosef Karo, and his Beis Yosef, quotes from one of the Rishonim, the Ra'ah, and he writes in Simen Nun, in Orachayim, Simen Nun, the Beis Yosef says, we say this parak because it's a parak in Shas that has no machlokas. There's no machlokas tanaim in this whole parak. Just facts, facts, facts. Amazing. To go through a whole parak of Mishnayis, and not Divrei Rabbi Meir, Divrei Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer. Right? It's an amazing thing. Maybe it's to start the day with a sign of Achdus, right? To show unity in our learning. But the Vilna Gaon said the following. The Vilna Gaon said, you know why there's no machlokas in this parak? For whatever reason, it was transmitted precisely throughout the generations. Which means the way that Hashem taught it to Moshe and Moshe taught it to Klai Yisrael was passed down from one generation to the next. Which means the Mishnayis are written in the language of who? In the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do the Mishnayis talk about curtains, not walls? Mishnayis are being written way past the Mishkan. It's being written at the base of Mikdash and the Bais Sheni. So why is it writing in the language of the Mishkan? The answer is because the reason this parak is so special to Klal Yisrael is because the way that God taught it to Moshe and Moshe taught it to Klal Yisrael, it was transmitted from one generation to the next. And therefore, Ezu Mekomen Shel Zvachim, Kachikalim, Lefnimin Aklayim, within the Klayim, within the curtains. Yeah, it referenced things back to the Mishkan, because it's again it was a section of Torah that was protected from one generation to the next. So it's taught to us. We say it every morning the same way that Moshe heard it from Hashem, which is a beautiful thing, to connect ourselves back all the way through time back to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Hashem. In that way is an amazing way to start our davening in the morning, to reconnecting ourselves throughout all the generations of history.
What's the Mishnah? How does it start?
It says, "Ezu makomon shel zvachim." Where is the place of the right? Where is the place of slaughter? And it goes, "Kachim kachim kalim kachim kachim," right? Different types of karbanos, and where they're brought, how they're offered, how many sprinklings, how many times the blood has to be applied to the mizbeach. Right? But the language reflects life in the Mishkan, and the reason that we're still saying it connected to the Mishkan is because it was protected throughout the generations, and transmitted exactly as Moshe was taught on Har Sinai. It's a beautiful idea. Okay, a little earlier in the parasha, I'll just tell you a very quick vart from the Gra. The Vilna Gaon said a good vart about getting up in the morning. For those who struggle to wake up in the morning, Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk says that the people gave donations, and the Pasuk says, V'heim heviu elav od nidava. They continue to bring gifts to Moshe Rabbeinu, baboker, baboker. They continue to bring gifts to Moshe Rabbeinu each and every morning. That's the Pasuk Pshat. The generosity of Klal Yisrael to help build the Mishkan. But the Vilna Gaon said, V'heim heviu elav od nidava. They brought Moshe Rabbeinu an additional offering, baboker baboker, morning after morning. What do you need the word od? Why doesn't it just say that they brought to Moshe an offering, baboker baboker, each and every morning? What do you need the word od? What's the od? Additionally, they brought, right? That's what they did. It's not additionally, that's exactly what they did. So the Vilna Gaon said that the ode in the Pasuk is saying, no, in addition to everything else that they brought, you know what else they brought? The ode, you know what else they brought? They also brought an edava, an offering called Baboker Baboker. They brought their mornings to God. What does that mean? The Vilna Gaon said, most people, even the workers who are out banging around, you know, banging in the streets and making noise, right? In Eretz Yisrael, you know? Eretz Yisrael, they're doing a housing project next door sometimes, 6 in the morning already, the Arab workers are out there. Right? But when the Jews were building the Mishkan, they got up so early that Hashem said, wow, it's not just the resources that they're bringing to build the Mishkan. The very fact that they're getting up in this way, that itself is giving of themselves to the Mishkan. The Mesiras Nefesh, to wake up so early because they're excited to another day of Hakamas HaMishkan, of building the Mishkan, to make a bias for Hashem, was exciting to them. So that's the Od Nedava, the additional Nedava, the additional gift that they gave was what? The fact that they got up earlier, says the Gra, than even a worker who gets up very early. And it shows a certain enthusiasm that they had to build a bias to Hashem. Okay? It's a nice pshat. Simple pshat, but a nice pshat. Okay, here's a story with the Vilna Gaon from Parshas Pekudei. Parshas Pekudei, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It describes, and Rashi tells us a little more about it, it describes the Mishkan, the opening Pasuk in Pekudei. Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. The Mishkan was the Mishkan of testimony. What was the Mishkan testifying to? What was the Mishkan saying to Klal Yisrael? Hashem says, build the Mishkan, it'll testify to something very important. What did the Mishkan testify to? So Rashi says, Mishkan ha'edus. Rashi says, Edus li Yisrael. It should serve as testimony for the Jewish people. Sheviter lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maisa ha'egel. You have to realize that the egel could have ruined everything. The egel was one of the most tragic moments in Jewish history. In fact, the Medrash in Shir HaShirim says on the pasuk that you had me with one eye, you grabbed me with one eye, which sounds beautiful. It sounds like you took one glance at me and you fell in love. That's the pasuk shot in the context in Shir HaShirim. But the Medrash says a very sad thing. The Medrash says, no, we only loved God with one eye. And the Medrash says, Judah always quotes this because Rabbi Nachman brings it in one piece in Sichos Aran, that what? That as they were standing at the Chuppah, Kabbalah Satorah, standing at Har Sinai, mountain over their head, right? Not the scary image of a mountain being dropped on their head, but a chuppah. Chassan and Kala. Hashem is the Chassan, Klal Yisrael is the Kala. Yeah. As we're standing there, about to marry HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we only had one eye on Hashem. The Medrash says, where was our other eye? Our other eye was already looking off to the eagle. Can you imagine? The way that some people describe it, it's like the Chassan standing under the chuppah, yeah, alongside his beloved bride, and he's already looking over at the bridesmaids, saying, who am I going to marry next? Sick. It's such a bizayon. That's what Chet Egel is. Chet Egel, as much as they were ready to be Mekabel the Torah, they were still tied up with Avodah Zarah. Whatever Egel was, a lot of different opinions exactly what happened there. Ibn Ezra and Kuzari say it wasn't so bad, they didn't actually mean something bad. Sadi going also, not Pasha what it was. But the Medrash says they had one eye on God and one eye on the Egel. It was a tragedy for Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says till this day we're still paying off
in small increments. Next time you stub your toe, you should say, shoot, chereiga. Because we're still paying it off in small measures today. So says Rashi, Mishkan ha'edus, the Mishkan testified. Testified to what? Edus li Yisrael. It was a testimony to Klai Yisrael. It reminded the Jewish people, Shevitar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseh. When God said, build the Mishkan, I stole v'shachanti b'socham. Again, according to Rashi, when did the egel take place? Before the building of the Mishkan or after? Before. You read the Torah, you have Parshas Truma before you get to the egel. But Rashi understood, Ein muktam amuchar b'Torah. Rashi understood the egel came first, and the Mishkan was a sign that God still wants to be around us. He wasn't going to divorce us. Moshe broke the luchos as part of making sure we didn't complete the marriage so that we wouldn't get in more trouble. Yeah? His Peshavos?
Yeah.
Right, tearing up the ksuba. Breaking the luchos was tearing up the ksuba to call off the wedding, which would save us instead of cheating on the Kadosh Baruch Hu after we were already married to him. This way the wedding would be off and it would still be a terrible... We were engaged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we were dishonest, unfaithful. So the Mishkan was the reminder to Klal Yisrael that Hashem says, I forgive you for the ego. Sharei Hishra Shechinasa Beneim. The fact that God came back and He gave us His Shechina, that was a good sign. The Vilna Gaon writes in one of his other Sfarim, the Aderes Eliyahu, in this week's Parsha, he says seven times, not sure exactly what the Cheshbon is, but seven times he says the Torah goes over the Hakamas HaMishkan. Bechlal Uva Pradi says, both in terms of the general and the specific, the Torah seven times comes back to the Mishkan. And seven, I'm not sure how he breaks it up into seven sections. But he says seven times why? Because Hashem's Shechina had to come down through the seven Rakiot, through the seven Rakiyim, through the seven heavens, yeah, in order to come down to this world. So therefore, it's referenced seven times, but it took seven Yeridos till Hashem put His Shechina amongst us. But the Mishkan was an Eidos, a testimony that Baruch Hashem, the show is going to go on. God's not giving up on us yet. There's still hope for us to recover. Okay? So you see that the Mishkan is called Mishkan Eidos, because that's what it was. The Mishkan itself was a reminder. The title, Mishkan Eidos, reminds us, says Rashi, that Hashem forgave us and is willing to bring His Shechina back to us. So here's the story with the Vilna Gaon. There was a very large shul in Vilna. Again, maybe there's a picture of it in this book. It's a very fascinating book of all of the writings of the Gra, pictures of the Gra, covers of his Svarim, some maps of Vilna. Yeah, so there's one large, was the Beis Knesses HaGadol in Vilna. And there were Gabayim, in the Beis Knesses HaGadol. It was an attractive spot for a traveling magid or a Baal Musar to come and give a shmooze and try to collect a couple bucks or whatever. A couple, whatever the currency was. What was the currency in Vilna? Okay? Rubles is always the standard in a Hasidic tale when you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, so it's not a Hasidic tale by any stretch, it's the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon heard that the Gabayim said, no more drushes in Shul. It's enough. These people, they come in, they get up, they give a whole drasha, collect money. It's just, we don't want this happening in our base medrash. So they came to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon heard about this. He called the Gabayim. He said, Gabayim, I need to talk to you. He says, how can you stop people from giving drushes in Shul? That's a little bit of a tircha de tibur. I understand, says the Vilna Gaon. But he says, he pointed to our pasuk in Pekudei. The Mishkan is called Mishkan Eidos. Why is it called Mishkan Eidos? Because that's what it was. It was a testimony. It testified to the fact that God had forgiven the Jewish people for the golden calf. And His Shechina was back. So the Vilna Gaon said, how can you tell people that they can't darshan in a base medrash? What do you think a base medrash is? A bit medrash is a place of drushes. That's what it's for. That's why it's called a base medrash. Chal Yisrael were wise when they decided to call it a base medrash. It was meant to be a place for drushes. So how can you tell people that we're not interested in your drushes in our base medrash? That undermines the very nature of the base medrash. And the Vilna Gaon got those traveling magidim and those bali musar. He got them the opportunity to speak once again in the shul. Because he said that the term that we use for something tells us a lot about it. Right? We have to realize that. When we call something a base medrash, think, what's the purpose of a base medrash? Why is it called a base medrash? The Mishkan is called Mishkan Eidos. It's not just called Mishkan. Because every time a Jew saw the Mishkan, the Vilna Gaon says, he was reminded of this Rashi. Eidos li Yisrael, testimony to Klal Yisrael, that there's such a thing as second chances. In fact, there's a beautiful Vart. There was a beautiful Jew, beautiful tzaddik. His name was Rav Lazer Geldzahler. There's a beautiful biography about him. He died, he was injured very severely in a very tragic car accident, in a bus accident. The driver fell asleep at the wheel, he jumped up to try to stop the bus, he was terribly injured. He passed away about a year later from his injuries. A very, very sweet and special Hasidic Jew. It was a Rosh Yeshiva, a very, very unique person. You should read this biography, it's a Feldheim biography, it's a beautiful biography about him. So in the biography of Lazer Geldzahler, he asked the question one time, he said, what do you need Vayakal Pekudei for? What do you even need this parsha for?
We had a Trumas Tetzaveh. I have to read over the Mishkan again. All these details. Details and details and more details. Yeah. I dafka wanted to read before. For those who were here before, I was reading from the biography, one of the biographies of the Vilna Gaon, how he was so attentive to all the details of Torah. Every letter, forwards and backwards. So we can't look at Vayakal Pakuti and say, it's just Chazara. Rav Lazer Geltzah said a beautiful vart. Rav Lazer said, you know what you need Vayakal Pakuti? To remind your Jew. You're going to love this vart. We're going to use this in the panel. Remind me. Truma Tetzaveh, you built the Mishkan for Hashem. Kisisa Chira Egel. You did the lowest sin ever. Vayakal Pakuti, go build the house for Hashem again. Go build again. You were mamish, you were inspired, you were connected, you were in a lot. Please remind me. Right after this show. Let's write it down. Yeah, you're in a very high place. Kids just texted me, yeah. You're in a very high place. No, we're working on something. I have to remember this part. Yeah, you're in a very high place. B'shachanti b'sochem, you built a mishkan for Hashem. Kisisa, you made an egel. V'yakal p'kudei, don't give up on yourself, build it again. Such a beautiful part. So the Gra said that, you have to remember, the Torah is making a point here. A base medrash is called a base medrash because it's for drushas. A mishkan is called mishkan ha'edus because every time a Jew sees the mishkan, he has to remind himself there's always a chance to be connected to Hashem no matter how low I fall. It's important for us to be mindful of that, to be aware of that. Okay? And lastly, one long vart that I want to share with you on Parshas Par. Since this Shabbos is not only Vayakal Pakuti, but it's also Parshas Par. Okay, we read the first 22 psukim, 21, 22, I think 22. 22 psukim in Parshas Chukas. Zos Chukas HaTorah, the Paraduma. We're trying to prepare the Paraduma to get pure in order to get ready for Karban Pesach, which hopefully we'll have the chance to bring this year. The Pasuk says, in Parshas Chukas, Parak Yutas, Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'lachu latame me'afar sreifas hachatas v'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli. You took the ashes of the Paraduma, you put it into into a kli with mayim chayim, with spring water, and you'd prepare the ashes of the Paraduma. Okay, it's referred to as what? As the Afar Sreifas HaChatas. The Paradum is often referred to in the Torah as a Chatas. Okay? Who understood Paradum? There was one Jew in history who understood Paradum. The ultimate Chok, the ultimate mitzvah we don't understand, there was one Jew in history who understood. Who was it? Moshe Rabbeinu. Who badly wanted to understand it but didn't? Shlomo HaMelech. Right? Mentioned this Sunday. Right? Shlomo HaMelech wanted so badly to know it, Moshe knew it when he was sworn to secrecy. Wasn't allowed to share it. So the Vilna Gaon was asked, why did Moshe understand Para and Shlomo not? And why did Shlomo want so badly to understand? I mean, he was a very wise man. Maybe the wisest of all. I guess a little bit not as wise as Moshe being. But Kim'at, the wisest man of all time, Shlomo Melech. So of course he wanted to understand everything of God. Right? But why did he think he could understand? Why couldn't he understand this? So let's learn a Medrash. There's a Medrash, a Yalkut Shimoni, which is a collection of Midrashim, on Koheles. Bikish Koheles limso divrei chefetz. There's a pasuk in the 12th parak of Koheles that says, Bikesh Koheles. Koheles is one of the names of Shlomo. It's called Shlomo, it's called Koheles, it's called Yedidya, you have many names. Right? One of the names is Koheles. So Bikesh Koheles limtso divrei chefetz. Shlomo HaMelech sought out Bikesh, he was seeking divrei chefetz, desirable things. Says the Medrash, Bikesh Koheles lamadol iske para. Shlomo HaMelech was desperate to understand the Asik of the Paro, I don't understand. It makes some people tame, it makes some people tar. It's such a strange mitzvah. Ashes of a perfectly red heifer. Very strange. He wanted badly to understand it. What's the end of that pasuk? Bikesh Koheles limto divrei chefetz. V'kasov yosher divrei emes. Says the pasuk, V'kasov yosher divrei emes. Says the Medrash, Kfar kasavti lecha al sifro shel yosher, haloi kasuv al sefer hayosher. The Paradum was already written in the Sefer Yashar. What does that mean? It means that it's already written openly for those who want to understand it. Also be Yashrus, also be Amuna, Gezeira Gazarti, Chuka Chakakti, Ein Lecha Lahar Achara, Zos Chuka Satar. Says the Medrash back to Shlomo, my mitzvot are Yashar. If I told you to do this, it makes sense. God, I don't understand it. It's a chok. Hashem says, relax. I made it be Yashrus. You do it, be Yashrus. Be Yashrus about it. Have a Muna. Have a Muna that it makes sense. It's a Gezerah, Gezarti. I made a Gezerah. Chuka Chakakti. It's a law that you can't understand that I have established. And therefore, Ein Lecha Lahar Achareah, Zos Chuka Satar. This is the Chok of the Torah, the ultimate Chok. Don't waste your time, Shlomo Melech, trying to understand it. Don't feel bad about it. But Moshe Rabbeinu did understand it. Says the Medrash a couple lines later, Davar Acher, Bikesh Koheles Lios Kemosh Rabbeinu. Shlomo Melech wanted to understand everything just like Moshe Rabbeinu. That it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, V'techasreyo ma'at me Elohim, just a notch below angels. Elohim as means angels in this context. Ravu Shmuel. Chad Omar Chamishim Shari Bina Nivra Ba'olam. V'kulam Nitnu L'Moshe Bar Sinai Chasr Echad. There are 50 levels of Bina, of understanding in the world. And all were given to Moshe, minus one at Har Sinai, as it says, V'techasreyo ma'at me Elohim. He was just a notch below the angels. He was still a little bit of a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu is called an Ish, he's called Elohim, right? The Medrash says he's godly halfway up, and he's a man halfway down. He's half man, half angel. Moshe's not a regular person. But a little bit, right? A little bit he was less than the angels, okay? But Shlomo Melech said, I want to be at least on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yotza Basko V'amra? No, Shlomo, it's not for you. He quote, again, the Pasuk in Kohelis is quoted, V'kasuv Yosher Divrei Emes. V'kasuv Yosher Divrei Emes. Says the Vilna Gaon, here's what's happening. Look at the words in the Pasuk. Letame, Pasuk says, we should repair the Paraduma, right? And we should take it, for who? Letame, me'afar sreifas hachatas. So the Vilna Gaon says, look at the Rashi Tevas. Yeah? Latame, lamed, me'afar, mem, sreifas, sin, hachatas hei. Lamed mem shin hey. Move it around. Shin lamed mem hey. Shlomo. So Shlomo says, ah, I see my chelek in Torah here. I see my name written here. It says, La tame mea far sreifa sachatas. That's my Rashi Tevos. I want to be like Moshe. I want to understand iske para. That's what the Medrash says. Bikesh Koheles lintel divrei chefetz. I want to understand the ultimate secret. Continues the pasuk in Koheles. Nope. Vikasuv yosher divrei emes. The only way to spell Shlomo is to move around the letters. Right? It's Lamed, Mem, Sin, and Hey. So you have to move it around to spell Shin, Lamed, Mem, Hey. So says the Pasuk, V'kasuv Yosher. You got to read the Pasuk straight. You can't move the letters around. Shlomo, you're trying to find yourself here, but this is not really you here. Whose name is straight in the Pasuk? Lamed, Mem, Shin, Hey, L'Moshe. So this is Moshe's Chelek in Torah, not yours. Bikesh Koheles, you want to have Divrei Chefetz? You want to understand Paraduma? Bikesh Koheles Lios Kemoshe Rabbeinu? No. Says the Pasuk, V'kasuv Yosher. You got to read the Pasuk straight. If you move around the pieces, you're going to pervert the Pasuk. This is not your Chelek in Torah. This is the Chelek of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the unbelievable secret of Paraduma that we read about this Shabbos. I guess part of the reason of reading such a secretive Parsha between Purim and Pesach, right, is that Purim and Pesach in different ways express the strange chok, the ultimate chok, more so than Paraduma, that Hashem chose us. That's a really big chok. You can't explain that. It's the way that certain tzaddikim explained. They say from the Yira Kaddish. The Yira Kaddish said that Klal Yisrael is called, the Rav Simcha Bunur Peshischa said also, that we're called an Am Segula. Right, what's a Segula? A person says, I'm looking for a Segula for something. I need a Segula for Parnassa. I need a Segula so that my cousin will be blessed with children. They don't have children. A Segula means something not natural. The Jewish people are called an Am Segula. It's a chok. It doesn't make sense why God chose us. Parah is the ultimate chok. Those chukas of Torah. The fact that we survived on Purim, even though we didn't deserve it, the fact that God took us out of Mitzrayim on the 49th level of Tumah, that's a big chok. It doesn't make sense. It'll be Teva, it'll be natural history. It doesn't make sense why that should be. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have chukim. I have things you don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest, most dedicated Jew of all time, La Tameh Me Afar, Seif as a Parah, is Rashi Tevos La Moshe. But Shlomo, you got to read it out of order in order to get Shlomo. And therefore Hashem says, this is not fair. Okay, so we learned some nice things tonight. Again, we learned how the story of Purim, right, led to, and Pesach are connected, right? The fact that the Jews had Avodah Zarah caused them to lose Pesach. And that's why the Pasuk at the end of Kisisa puts, don't worship idols next to guarding Chag HaMatzos. That was number one. Then we learned, why does the Mishnayos in Ezum Makoma talk about the klayim, the curtains, and it should talk about walls, based on Mikdash? The answer is because that's a parak of Torah, that's mamish, directly back to Moshe Mitzrayim, and there's no machlokas, and it's a beautiful transmission of Torah that we remind ourselves of every morning. Then we said, what's the ode baboker baboker? The Jews came additionally with gifts every morning. The gift was, says the Vilna Gaon, that they dedicated themselves to get up early in the morning to serve Hashem. So think about tomorrow morning, and you're dragging yourself out of bed. Think, if I jump up with energy, it's mamish, a gift to Hashem. It's a donation to God.
Snow day. You can sleep in. Okay, yeah, we can talk about it later.
Okay,
Pekudeh. What do we learn? We learn Pekudeh. We said what? Mishkan Eidos. Remind yourself that a base medrash is for drushos, and the Mishkan is a testimony that Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. And last but not least, for Parshas Para, that Moshe Rabbeinu understood something that Shlomo didn't understand. And Amir Hashem, we should be zocha to the Gula, and we'll understand all of Torah as the world is filled with the knowledge of Hashem.
Okay.
Shkayach. Enjoy the snow day. Amir Hashem, I don't know how I'm going to get here, but...